This is an article read by Esther Blumeris, also written by her, on guidance for Christians on the Jewish festivals. The Old Testament is necessary, how to get to know the scriptures properly. Many Christians feel they have been redeemed by Jesus, Yeshua on Calvary, and that commemoration of the Jewish festivals and the holy days of the Jews are therefore not necessary. But what I think is indeed beneficial for us is to study the Old Testament diligently, and doing so then systematically and in accordance with the Jewish calendar is indeed a journey those interested can and must undertake. This way, believers will simultaneously become acquainted with Jewish worship and its Old Testament prescriptions. It is indeed good to download the Jewish calendar, something that will introduce you to the Jewish festivals as well. One can just type in the browser Jewish festivals and holidays, and this will give one the required festivals and their meanings. Studying the Old Testament this way can indeed help one not only to get acquainted with Old Testament practices, but it is also a good way to cover the reading of the scriptures throughout the year in a systematic way. Our aim must always be to learn and to acquire knowledge, and so that we can grow spiritually, gaining in a steady way a proper understanding of the basis of the New Testament. Fact is, the Old Testament, the scriptures, was read in the early church, also in Greek translations, that is the Septuagint or LXX. These are the scriptures the Apostle Paul mentions in his letter, namely that the scriptures were given in by the Spirit of God. Jesus clearly stated that salvation is from the Jews, John 4, meaning of course that our Savior Jesus the Christ, Yeshua HaMashiach, came from the Jewish stock. Our God was then active in ancient Israel, revealing himself as the Most High, the only one true God. Studying then the Old Testament scriptures in such systematic ways, indeed spiritually fulfilling, especially if we do it along with the New Testament, as we believers in Mashiach's new covenantal revelation know all too well that the coming of Jesus Yeshua in the flesh was the fulfillment of the law, Matthew 5. Verse 17, as I have stated in my recent articles, that is, for example, the purpose of the cross. It is therefore wrong to discard Old Testament readings as though they are not necessary for the new and better covenant keepers. Paul was well grounded in the Old Testament text, and his letters are steeped in knowledge of and references to the Old Testament text. So, get yourself acquainted with the Jewish calendar and the festival so that you can correlate historical days, which indeed are of importance, that is, with their relevant scripture reading portions, the parashot in Hebrew, of course. It is good to, on a daily basis, set time aside for in-depth probing of the scriptures. The best is to undertake this journey on a daily basis and therefore in a systematic, planned way. Christians, of course, have a double responsibility, namely to, one, probe the Old Testament text thoroughly and so that they can know that Jesus Yeshua was actively involved with his people from of old, also that the scriptures, that's the Old Testament, was speaking about Christ Jesus, Yeshua HaMashiach's coming in the flesh, and two, to acquaint themselves thoroughly with the New Testament text, and so that we can know how the Old Testament scriptures were completely fulfilled in Yeshua, Jesus, our precious Lord and Savior. The meaning of the text, along with the purpose of each festival, will become clear to us should we approach especially the Old Testament text this way. Why Christians are often lax in their approach to the Bible is because they fail to understand that Jesus Yeshua had a pre-existence with his Father, and that this existence is fastened for us in the Old Testament. Once we have gone systematically through the Old Testament Testament scriptures consisting of one Torah, that is the five books of Moses, two the Nevi'im, the prophets major and minor, or sometimes referred to Navi, but Navi is the singular form for prophet, and the Ketuvim, the writings, we will be able to more easily cross-reference to the New Testament, and doing so with clear understanding, using a concordance, e.g. Strong's, is advisable, for this will help finding your way so much easier, and you can also consult the Greek and the Hebrew meanings of words should you be interested to probe the scriptures on a deeper level. But it is better to stick to the basics rather than going too wide, only to lose interest in the end. Rather undertake the journey systematically, and as I am recommending it here, for this will ensure that your interest in the unity of the scriptures is kept alive. I would especially like to recommend the timeline of Ari Bloemaeris, a leading pastor and biblical teacher for the followers of Jesus, and also a writer and a speaker on the blog as well as on the website, to one and all, as this gives us an excellent chronology of the Old Testament textual tradition. Go to www.housealtarnetwork.com, housealtarnetwork.com, and then go to Christian Jewish Studies, CA0002, Comments and Lessons from the Books of the Prophets. Then go to Timeline of Israel's History and download it for easy reference. It's a good study aid, study tool. There is indeed no excuse anymore for anyone who is serious about his or her Bible studies. We are at the beginning of a new year, that's the year 2015, and if we want to be spiritually alert and therefore taking heed of the signs of the times, we will indeed know that Jesus, Yeshua, is already deeply involved with his people, the Jewish nation, revealing himself all the more stronger to them. Fact is, it is now the time for the Jews to come to the feet of their Messiah. Should we then be guarding the faith that was once delivered to us, Jude verse 3, that's New Testament, we will be serious about our Bible studies, and we will begin to probe the scriptures properly. Doing so systematically is therefore of the utmost importance, as this will give us insight and the necessary knowledge we need to acquaint ourselves with the times we are living in. We therefore need the Old Testament just as much as the New Testament in order to see the broader picture. So become a serious Bible student and set a portion of your daily program aside to probe the scriptures in depth. This is the only way we will be able to fasten our faith in God and His Christ, Jesus, Yeshua, the light of our lives. As the days we are living in are for many a great challenge, that is to keep spiritually renewed and alert, and so that we will indeed be able to persevere up to the very end with Jesus, Yeshua, as our trusted pilot, steering us through the stormy oceans of life. Blessings with your Bible studies. Begin today and do it systematically, for this way you will gain a steady foothold upon the rock of all ages, the only rock, Christ Jesus our Lord. Remember, Jesus Yeshua is the same yesterday, today, and forevermore. Hebrews 13 verse 8. And then there's useful links that I also add here. http://www.hebcal/holidays/2015-2016. This is about the Jewish festivals and holidays 2015 to 2016. There's another link you can consult on the Torah portions. That's http://TorahPortions.org/thisweek/2015. And then it's about, as I've said, Torah portions on a weekly basis and also including readings from the prophets. It's a good URL to consult a website. For a daily audio portion of the scriptures Old Testament, go to http://www.jewishpub.org/books/audio-bible, and that is then about the scripture portions audio that you can also make use of. I went on and I wrote in the article, should you have problems connecting with the aforementioned links, then try to find similar parashat readings. Consult also the Messianic Jews and the Jews for Jesus' website. Let go of bias and prejudice. Undertake the journey of probing the scriptures, for this is what we need in order to connect with our precious Lord and Savior, understanding also God's plan of salvation in an objective way. If I may give one special word of advice, don't get involved with fanatical groups who insist on Judaizing everything. Rather, get to know your Savior in and through the scriptures and God's ways to man, for Christ came to save sinners and to give us eternal life. In the New Testament, we have the fulfillment of the scriptures, and we are therefore probing the Old Testament text and all its Jewish customs to fasten our faith in the unchangeable God of all ages, who gave us his Son and who is the optimum reality. The Son is the exact image and likeness, the resemblance of his Father, Colossians 1:15, as the way, the truth, and the life, John 14:6. And he came for this purpose, namely to reconcile us unto God his Father, Paul. Let's therefore opt for that deep peace that only Jesus Christ, Yeshua HaMashiach, could establish within the heart of man. The Old Testament is the shadow, but the fulfillment we have in Christ Jesus is the great reality man was in need of. And therefore Christ Mashiach came at the right time, born of a woman, born under the law, Galatians 4, that is to lead us to perfection in him. I would like to add here that seeing there are Christians who are prejudiced against the Jews, feeling that they don't need the Old Testament, it is good to rather retain objectivity. Prejudice robs us of not only our inner peace, but it is often the cause why we cannot grow optimally in Christ. Now, not everybody would like to opt for the path of studying the Parashot and the Jewish festivals, but why I'm recommending this route is because it is best, namely if we want to optimally grow in knowledge also spiritually, to get the full picture, as the Old Testament is the necessary backdrop to the New Covenant. However, those who feel that they rather would like to read the Old Testament using a good translation at their disposal may of course do so. I don't think there are any hard and fast rules, as long as we fasten our faith in Jesus, Yeshua, our Lord and Savior, for he is the path of life. It is so that a Christian who is acquainted with the fullness in Jesus, our Lord, does not want to study the Jewish path or way of life I've touched on in one of my articles, which boils down to strict Jewish observance, that is the halacha. I think it's very good to become acquainted with the halacha, because there's also that dedication that we find then among the Jews. And sometimes we have to force ourselves to be dedicated. And that is something we can then take as an example. Now, I myself am very well aware of the extra rabbinical baggage that was added via the 613 mitzvot, that is the halacha. And I myself know all too well that this is the type of Pauline works of the law, that is to labor for the law, as this is what this type of observance indeed boils down to. We Christians who have the fullness of the new covenantal walk, yet not always doing what Christ desires of us. This is the crux. We're not always doing what Christ desires of us, don't really need. we say that we don't need the works, and that is, of course, what Paul brings to our attention. In other words, this is what he refers to as the works of the law. It has nothing really then to do with Torah, because Torah is the basic word that we have. But then there were additions, rabbinical additions to the Torah, and that contracts in the halacha. So for a Jew who is dedicated, this is normal, and that is their type of worship that we also have to respect, because we have our salvation from the Jews. But now in the New Testament, we don't need the works of the law anymore, because Paul is our teacher, and he's the one who learned all those works of the law. He was so well acquainted with halacha. And here in the New Testament, he comes and he tells us that it is not necessary for us the works of the law. So what is the works of the law? This is, as I've said, what I would like to say here. Only to differentiate then between the works of the law and Torah is that extra rabbinical baggage. But if one views it from this angle, namely that it points to Jewish dedication, that this is the way they are reminded of the laws, and this is the way they are reminded to stay true and to keep true to God's word and God's instructions, then I think it's for them and we must respect it. But I'm just dealing here this way with it so that we can come to that understanding what is meant with works of the law, because sometimes the Christians throw away the Old Testament just because they are afraid of the works of the law, not knowing what is the difference between the works of the law and then the Old Testament's Torah. Jesus himself said that the Pharisees loaded the people with heavy burdens, and this is exactly what he was referring to. He was referring to the works of the law. And it's very good for us to become acquainted with halacha. You can go on the internet and then you will see what halacha is. That is the Jewish path or way of life. That's the way they deal with their dedication to God and the dedication to Judaism. And then we will see what is meant with the works of the law. And we will then understand. And I trust that we will do that, because that's one thing that I feel that is important, is that we must know that God is now turning towards Israel, and God has a bright future for Israel in Christ Jesus, in her Messiah. And we bring the Messiah for this purpose, so those who have a Jewish calling will then have to take note of all these things, because we must understand. And then there's, of course, the Messianic Jews, and you will find among them another type of dedication, and they will tell you all these things, just as I am telling it here, because they've got a struggle to bring Jesus to the Jews, and we must understand that. And the Jews, on the other hand, they feel that they cannot just accept Jesus as Messiah. They also have their issues. So what we must do is to tolerate and to bear with one another, to really be patient and to uplift the Jews in prayer and to give them a shoulder where they need it, because that is what God wants from us, because our Savior came from the Jews, and the bulk of the Jewish people are really still God's people. They yearn for their Messiah, and we must have that warm heart for them. Our heart must really go out to the Jews. This is what God desires of us. Now, I myself, to be blatantly honest, have found ambiguity within the works of the law. You know, this type of keeping the law. But then I am a Christian. That is what we must understand. And in these days, we must really reach out to Israel and to the Jews. And we must really do all in our power, as I've said, to understand their dedication, their Jewish observance. It's very good to do that. It's not that we must do it. That's what I meant with fanatical groups. I don't think somebody who has come to Jesus really need to succumb or to subject themselves to all the strict Jewish observance. A Jew won't really require it from you as a Christian, because they feel it is for them, and it was meant for them as a nation. So we must understand that. Now, I may sound ambiguous here, but I don't think, if you really think properly how I'm trying to convey this to you, that this is really the case. What I'm saying is, here we in the New Testament, we have grace, but sometimes we must really focus for a while, just for a while, in order to reorient ourselves again and to understand what dedication really is. We can, for instance, look back and we can compare the dedication of a really faithful Jew, because this is the Jew that will take notice of the halacha, and how they will really go to great lengths to dedicate themselves to their God, and also to know that God must be served in reverence, and God must be served with dedication. This is the principle that we Christians have lost, and that's why we are sitting today with hypergrace. And hypergrace is really something that the apostles didn't have, because they were Jews and they had that same dedication, although Paul criticized the works of the law. And although we know that that was that extra baggage that Jesus was also referred to, what I mean here is, without now promoting ambiguity, what I'm saying here is that we must really understand the Jewish dedication to God and to the Jewish walk, or the walk with God, that walk that we must have, that spiritual walk in the New Testament, of course, everything hinging on Jesus and his gospel truth, but to know that that is what the apostles had. They were so dedicated, and that's that dedication that we need, even if it should perhaps require of us to verbalize certain things, because we are living in a new age time. We are living in the millennium. Many people are falling away from God, and you've got to force yourself to really remain true to Jesus. I trust that you will understand this, because I don't want to promote superficial things and the works of the law. I agree with you that it's that extra baggage that Jesus also referred to. But what I'm saying is, look at halacha and see how they will go to great lengths, because the rabbis tried to bring the people back to that dedication. I'm not here to down them. I'm here to try to create an understanding so that we as Christians can understand that we cannot just do what we wish. Because if you speak to a real dedicated Jew, he will tell you that that law that we also have by the mouth of Jesus in Mark 12, that we must love the Lord our God with all our heart, all our mind, all our understanding, our will, everything within us, with everything within us, we must love our Lord. That is Jewish dedication, because that is why they can face even death. If it comes to that point where they've got to deny Torah and their God, true faithful Jew will be prepared to give his life for his God. And that is exactly what we Christians do. So that is what we get, and that is what we have received, or what we have inherited from the Jews, because the apostles were Jews, and that's why they could give their lives for Christ in martyrdom, because they knew that they had to. They had no other choice. They just had to give their lives for Jesus, and that's Jewish dedication. So this is what I meant explaining to you what halacha really is, the Jewish path of faith, or the Jewish path of observance. I myself, to be blatantly honest, then, I don't like, you know, the works of the law, or to promote it in any way, because I can't do that, and I'm not really doing that. But I'm adamant, as Jesus died to give us not death and a gospel consisting merely of words and rituals. That is what he came for. But he died to give us life. We've got this abundant life in Jesus Christ. But then we must opt for this supernatural, divine life, we Christians who talk so glibly, with all our heart, all our soul, our strength and our understanding, not then taking it lightly and pretending to have the fullness in Christ, yet pathetically lacking it. You see, this is the crux And I trust that you will take note of this, because we Christians are sometimes very superficial. There's great superficiality among the Christians. And then they would say to you, we don't want the works of the law. We don't want to hear anything about the Jews. We don't want them as an example. But actually, this is the type of dedication, as I've said previously, that we really must alert ourselves to. Standing on grace must therefore also be objectified, as this is the area where rationalization of what God really desires of us, working on our salvation by doing and then not only talking what God desires of us, that is apart from now fully functioning under the new covenant and all its blessings. And all I want to stress again is that we Christians boasting in grace must guard against shifty hyper-grace. Fact is, Jesus did not come to nullify the law, but to fulfill it, Matthew 5:17. And he didn't come to institute a superficial, airy-fairy grace gospel. He came to bring grace, because through grace we were set free. But we are called to also dedicate our lives to Christ, to really serve Christ with all our heart, our mind, our understanding, and everything within us. We must really submit to Christ. We must really dedicate our lives to Him and to the cause, His cause. Then Christ can really do something for us, and He will mean something for us. Now, there are indeed quite a variety of approaches to Matthew 5:17. That is, that Jesus came to fulfill the law. But I think what we must opt for is that if we boast in Christ having fulfilled the law completely, then we must see to it. This is the crux, that the prescriptions of Torah are indeed via rebirth written on our hearts. That is what Paul says. And I don't have the extra rabbinical baggage here in mind, but I do have the teachings contained in the 5 books of Moses in mind, however specifically pointing to the moral ethical laws, because these laws are of great importance to this day, because the same laws are definitely also to be found under the new and better covenant. Once we have ascertained what God desires of us via Torah, how to relate to our neighbor, conducting our daily affairs and our relationships properly, that is our personal and our socio-societal connections, that is namely on all levels and as God requires it of us, then we can and must also take note of the dietary laws, as this concerns our health. God has given man guidance what to eat and what not to eat, and God is obviously the one who knows what is best for us. There's a book that was written, None of These Diseases, and I wish you could still get it. I don't know if it's still available or if it's out of print, but if you can ever lay your hands on that book, it is so good. It was so excellent that we can really take note of the Ten Commandments and of the dietary laws, the Jewish dietary laws, and why we must eat kosher food. I think it is very good to know how God determined. I would say, sorry, I want to go back here, not kosher in the sense that we observe all the Jewish rituals. What I mean is to stick to the food that God has prescribed as the clean food or the clean animals that we then can partake of, because that is still available for us, not only available to read, but to take note of it and to apply it to our lives, especially the eating of pork, because the Jews are right. It's not good for our health to eat pork, and one can study this on one's own if you are really interested in this subject, because I once attended, I remember, a health conference, and the one guy said, and he was not Jewish, but he said, do yourself a favor and never eat pork. And this I've heard over and over again. So you can study this yourself and you will see why it's so necessary not to eat pork and to take heed of what God has prescribed concerning pork. Not everybody believes it, but remember what Paul says, everything is sanctified through prayer and the word does not sanctify, condone the eating of pork. I think it is very good to know how God determined the agricultural laws. We can take notice of that, because this is definitely something that the scientists still take note of. Also, how horrendous that is, for example, cursing God and his name is, and what we can bring upon ourselves should we trespass God's prescriptions, all written in Torah, of course, concerning our worship and our reverence of God. It is also good to see how compassionate the God of the Old Testament was, for example, when it came to the prisoners of war. If we see how they are treated, God demands of them to be treated properly. That's the Old Testament prescriptions. I am now talking of the Old Testament times, to see how merciful God was, and we can take notice of that. We should then indeed take note of how God commanded the Israelites to be merciful and kind to strangers. God clearly had to teach his people the theocracy, that's the Old Testament theocracy, obedience, also walking in humility before him as the Most High, something that has not changed under the new and better covenant. It is then clearly the very same God acting in the Old Testament, yet revealed in full splendor under the new and better covenant. In Philippians 2, John 1, Galatians 4. The veil was then lifted as the fullness of times, and when the new and better covenant had fallen in place, that is at the fullness of times, when that was then fulfilled, then the veil was lifted. It is good to know that Torah contains excellent guidance and which we can then apply to our lives and lifestyles to this day. But I think what is not necessary is to go to all the extra lengths, again boiling down to all the extras added to, for example, the dietary laws, and eventually is of no real value to us. It's all the prescriptions. Jesus has taught us to pray over our food, and this we can do as he had set the example for us. One, before we are beginning our meal, and then two, after we have had our meal, offering again our thanksgiving to God this way. But we must always guard against a mere ritualistic approach, for then what we are doing becomes so habitual that eventually we are just sitting with a dead religion regardless of boasting in the new and better covenant. Nothing must become so ritualistic. We must walk our walk with dedication, with love of God, with reverence, and then that will, of course, prevent superficial ritualistic custom. It becomes so customary that eventually we just pray and our prayers mean nothing. It's just a ritual. It's just something that we say, and it then would, for instance, carry no meaning, no real meaning. Christ Jesus indeed came to renew us spiritually and mentally, and he wants us to walk in the power of the Holy Spirit. This is a new covenantal truth we cannot and must never sacrifice for the sake of the dead works of the law. Remember now, that's the extra baggage that was placed upon them, how to interpret the law and how to see to it that we are dedicated to God, because that is not the saving grace of God. What is the saving grace of God for us in the New Testament is our faith in Jesus Christ and in the cross and in his blood and that shed blood of his, that sacrificial blood. He came to save sinners so that we are not living in bondage and fear anymore. And this is something Paul was clearly pointing to, and therefore not pertaining to the essentials I have mentioned previously, that this is, as I've said, that Torah is still necessary. We can take note of Torah, because Torah is not the works of the law. Fact is, and if we want to be honest before God, many Christians have no inkling of real life in Christ, for they too have thrust the New Testament salient, precious, life-giving Holy Spirit gifts aside. And what does this boil down to? A dead Christian walk. It is therefore useless to point fingers at the Jews and their dead religious observance and practices, yet doing the very same to the new covenantal order. Christ came to save sinners, as I've said, and to bring life to the sinner by giving man his resurrection power. That is the Holy Spirit endowment which we must strive for, else we are exchanging the gospel we have received in power, the power of the Holy Spirit, from the apostles of Jesus, Yeshua, for a dead religion, and which then also becomes a mere religious word upon word and command upon command gospel, although we then indeed have received life from Christ, and boasting thereof against the Jews, we must know that unless we walk in the freedom Christ has given us under the new covenantal dispensation, we have then become just as shackled to customs and traditions as those among the Jews who are going merely by prescription upon prescription, rule upon rule, and command upon command. We then become the same. We Christians, believers in the risen Jesus, Yeshua HaMashiach, must then see to it that we walk in that spiritual freedom Christ has brought us via Calvary, and when he had unshackled us from the bondage of taste not, want not, touch not. And this once again boils down to accepting the gospel the apostolic way, doing what they then did, namely to not only talk about life in Christ and the Bible, but also incorporating, that was the most necessary, that message of life, the reality of the baptism of the Holy Spirit, finding expression in 9 Holy Spirit gifts, 1 Corinthians 12, in our daily walk with God. The baptism in the Holy Spirit was essential because it came to stay. And this is something that was very, very abused. It was not applied properly by Christians throughout the ages. At times, yes, but not always. And this is where the Old Testament Jewish dedication to God comes in, well, pertaining to those who stuck to God's principles and teachings, and they're not including the disobedient among them who were forever defying God's instructions. They were always, luckily, very dedicated, faithful Jews, and they, of course, paved the way for us, for Jesus, to die on Calvary, because he died on Calvary and he was sent into this world as one of the Jews. He was a Jew, Galatians 4. Fact is, we Christians boasting in grace must also be dedicated. We must therefore take our walk with God seriously, doing what God demands of us, for what we find in the New Testament walk with God is indeed rooted in the Old Testament. The apostles of Jesus Yeshua used the Old Testament text, especially the Greek Septuagint among the Gentiles and diaspora Jewry, and clearly as a very necessary guideline. Let's consider the 10 Commandments, Exodus 20, which still applies to this day for both the Jews and the Christians. And this is where I'm going to stop because it's too running too long now, this podcast. And I'm going to discuss the 10 Commandments in another podcast. Thank you. It's Esther Blumeris.